Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The pandemic and a turbulent summer have played a part in disrupting the regional art scene, but they have also served to inspire artists and new art. Tori Allen is the president and CEO of Arts Midwest, based in the Twin Cities. In his short time in that position, he's seen our communities and the regional art scenes go on a roller coaster ride that still hasn't returned to the staging area. Mr. Allen is one of the keynote speakers during this week's South Dakota Arts Conference. He addresses the convention on Saturday at 9:15 a.m. Mountain Time. That's virtual, of course. He's joining us this morning from his office in Minneapolis. Good morning, Tori. Welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This has been quite a year, and definitely quite a summer. Tell us a little bit about what it has been like from your vantage point. How big has the disruption been? And let's talk disruption first before we talk to some of the artistic response to that.
Oh, I'll see. Where do we begin? There's that.
Yeah.
The disruption that directly impacts the arts industry. And then there's the disruption that just sort of impacts just living. So I guess, yeah, I can just start from, and I'm fairly new to the Midwest. I moved here last year, and so I'm all excited. I'm still very excited. I'm just love living here, and look forward to exploring as much as possible. In the arts, it's been a little scary. You have the direct impact on arts organizations and artists. You have mass layoffs. You have the closing of these facilities and the ripple effect that that has in communities. So if people aren't coming together at these performing arts centers, those facilities aren't running. The restaurants that are supplied, that have depended upon that business, those people coming to these shows, the parking garages, the hotels, the artists, the backstage personnel. And so there's this huge, huge ripple, negative ripple effect from the closings that we had. I think you've been spared a little bit of that in South Dakota, which is good. But it's still kind of a scary moment in the arts. And this generally, the general just disruption, it's just been sort of mind blowing. And I'm just kind of putting my head down and plowing through it, and knowing that I'm in one of those sectors that's going to help revive everything, help bring us back, bring back the economy, bring back the vitality of living.
I want to talk a little bit about what, you know, how often the arts reach, kids after school, reach, you know, people who, you know, a free concert in the park, or a public art in a mural or a sculpture. There is so often that the people who are the audience are underserved by other things. So the disruption has a ripple effect in the audience as well. Talk to me a little bit about what you're hearing from, you know, gallery goers and concert goers and ticket buyers and kids. You sense that there has to be a sense of, you know, like a doctor not being able to get to the hospital to deal with sick people. There has to be a sense of, like, these people need the work that we're doing, and I can't get there. I can't give that to them. That's got to be a really difficult experience.
The arts is one of those big healing forces. So what we're hearing is that people no longer have that outlet, that place to go and gather and convene with other folks, from parents who have kids in after-school programs to people of all ages and all backgrounds who just look forward to convening and getting together, whether it's a country concert at a saloon, or a symphonic concert or a chamber concert or a theater performance. There is this massive depression around this area. And so what we're already beginning to look at is what's this healing going to look like post-COVID as we sort of come out of this? And I can assure you it's going to be one of the biggest healing movements in the history of this country, and the arts is going to be sort of supplementing all of this work. So there's that. There's also this amazing resiliency. At the same time, there's just this amazing resiliency that's happening, that's manifesting itself. People are going virtual. They're going online. They're getting more comfortable with going online and going virtual, and they're convening in this virtual space. For example, Arts Midwest hosts one of the largest arts conferences, annual arts conferences, regional arts conferences. And we normally have 900 to 1,000 people, 1,000 people if it's a good year. Well, and we were really nervous about proceeding with that work this year because, you know, it's uncertain. We're going digital. People are going to show up. And do you know, we almost doubled, actually more than doubled our audience. We had 1,900 people from 22 countries, every state and territory in the United States covered. So that wouldn't have happened under normal circumstances. So this opportunity, as distressing as it has been, has also invited a lot of creativity, a lot of creative thinking around how to show up and gather. And it's showing this, it's manifesting this amazing resilience that I think we all have. So I'm sort of divided. On the one hand, I'm very cognizant of the negative impacts. But on the other hand, I'm so proud of how people are marshaling their internal creativity, individuals and groups, and they're not letting this issue get the best of them.
Yeah. I want to talk about summer in the Twin Cities because you already have this pandemic and the restrictions in the state of Minnesota and the uncertainty of spring. And then we have the killing of George Floyd in the Twin Cities. This other massive, you know, a disruption and reckoning and an awareness of violence. And what was that like to go through from an Arts Midwest standpoint? Tell me some of the things that you saw happening in the arts community in response, and you know, what was lost during that time artistically.
Sure, you know, this is coming from someone who's, I've lived in the high mountain country of Southern Oregon, and I've lived in Harlem, New York City. And so I've kind of lived in a wide variety of places. I lived in Alaska for 10 years, and I have to tell you, and I've experienced a lot of different things, but the summer here, this past summer in the Twin Cities, was a bit nerve-wracking at times. It was exceptional. For Arts Midwest, our offices are located in a part of town that was really heavily damaged. As a matter of fact, for weeks after, immediately after the initial incident, that area was sort of like a war zone. It was just demolished. Fortunately, our offices were on the second floor of a building, so we didn't have suffer any direct losses. But we had been closed down since mid-March because of COVID, so there was no real negative impact there. But a few weeks after that, there was, I think, related unrest, and several people were shot just outside of our building, and so the staff was a little bit nervous about returning to the office. So we still were sort of living with that anxiety now. We go in occasionally, but it's sort of like walking into a ghost town, that area now, which is a little bit sad, but it's coming back. People are resilient. I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced was the day after, or that weekend after the initial riots. It was a Sunday morning. And I went down and I saw people from all walks of life, all ages, all ethnicities, all coming together to clean up. It was absolutely beautiful. There were people with cowboy hats and cowboy boots and people wearing burkas. And there was the old and there was the young. And it was and they were together in silence. They were connecting as much as possible with COVID, but they were cleaning up. It was this immediate collective cleanup. And it was the most beautiful example of community. And it was, I think it was just, and it wasn't, I don't know if there was some big circuit behind the scenes mobilizing people digitally, or it was just impulsive. And so that was beautiful to witness. And of course, there's been that, it only increased the negative impact or the harmful impact on the arts in the city. Staff at our organization sort of wrestled with, how do we show up? How does Arts Midwest show up around this issue? After all, we are an arts organization. Is it right for us to step into this space, the social space? And we had lengthy discussions about this. And ultimately we decided that we don't really have the credibility to step in this space. We can say that we're saddened by the events. But we felt like it wasn't our place to step into this space. We have partnered with the city of Minneapolis, which has launched a program to provide assistance to artists who were seeking a multitude of ways to start that healing process. And that's really beautiful. And we have some information about that on our website. But I think right now there are 15 different projects that are happening, and there's talk of continuing the work. So it's really beautiful.
Yeah. When we look at the State Arts Conference here in South Dakota, you know, what kind of message do you think, as you consider your keynote speech and preparation for that, what do you think you'll lead with?
You know, Jim and the folks there asked me what I talk about equity, and you know, I thought about that for a while. Do I have the personal credibility and the analysis to talk about something like that? And I thought, well, I can sort of speak from my own truth, which one of the most important lessons I've gained or learned from my experience as a performing artist was that there's power in your personal truth, your personal testimony. And so I feel like I can show up in this space. So I thought I would share a little bit about, you know, how do I come to this subject, what it means for me, how that background influenced how I encouraged Arts Midwest to show up, and how I encourage all arts organizations to show up around these issues. And then to talk a little bit about some of the things that practical ways that anybody can embrace if they're interested in showing up in this space that is in a way that's non-judgmental, that is action-oriented, that considers that people are all on very different parts of this journey, and that in the main, most people are good.
You can tune in to that keynote speech on Saturday, I believe, 9:15 a.m. Mountain Time, as part of the Statewide Arts Conference. You can register for that conference at artssouthdakota.org. My guest has been Tori Allen, the president and CEO of Arts Midwest. Tori, it's a pleasure to get to talk to you a little bit today. I look forward to tuning in to your address as well.
And likewise, I enjoyed my conversation with you. Thank you so much.